I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, January 9th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild and dystopic ride it is. Welcome to 2023 in America, where none of us would probably survive 10 minutes 100 years ago. But you know, at least we have all these wonderful conveniences. Isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful? I'm being a little facetious. I am your host, Chris Hinckley, and so let's get started. I have in the back of my mind sort of floating around at all times, the voice of Klaus Schwab, and you know that whole, I don't know, Dr. Evil thing, and these crazy ideas that have been bandied about. Just thinking about development, you know, I was thinking about it this morning. These ideas, what has happened over the last going on 20 years now? I guess it's been 15 years. In the development world, you know, there's a content management system called Drupal, for example, and it was in its infancy in the early 2000s, and it has matured, but it can't seem to figure out what it will do with all of this explosion of JavaScript frameworks. UI frameworks, meta frameworks, this framework, that framework. Meanwhile, you have all of the big companies involved in these JavaScript frameworks. And, you know, what does that all mean? Well, it doesn't mean much to the average person, but what's going on behind the scenes is what we've heard. How, for example, the internet will disappear into the, you know, it'll be all around us, but we won't see it anywhere. And phones will disappear and, you know, this kind of thing within a few short years. You know, the projection is by 2030, or shall we say 2029, which correlates to Ray Kurzweil's dystopian sci-fi nightmare. And that outlined in books like The Age of Spiritual Machines. These are thoughts that float around in my mind. There's a post today on RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, a little video that was actually posted yesterday. WEF declares people have no right to own their own cars. You can walk or share. And this, you know, kind of gets to the point of what we're sort of up against. We were lulled to sleep over the 20th century under the name of convenience, and then under the banner of convenience, in the name of convenience. And it turns out that was a strategy for total enslavement. There are folks who have been warning us all along the way. Particularly care to listen. That's a hard reality. You know, that's a hard truth to deal with. You think of, I don't know, all the work that so many folks have done, you know, most recently in the discussion, I guess, but not really for quite some time. You know, people like Vicki Davis, for example, the technocratictyranny.com, channelingreality.com. And, you know, from kind of an insider's perspective, so to speak, saying, hey, this is what's actually going on with all of this fancy technology. And Ray Kurzweil is not your friend. So, and for the last 10 years, according to Google, or according to Wikipedia, excuse me, the, you know, the oracle of the universe. In December 2012, the last 10 years, Kurzweil was hired by Google in a full-time position to work on new projects involving machine learning and language processing. He was personally hired by Google co-founder Larry Page. Larry Page and Kurzweil agreed on a one-sentence job description to bring natural language understanding to Google. And I think, you know, that's one of those more like the tail wagging the dog. Publicly, the dog is wagging the tail, but, you know, it's kind of like the president appoints a Fed chair and, but maybe not, you know, behind the scenes. Here are the choices. You have this choice or that choice. There's two choices. That's not much of a choice, really. And they're, you know, two sides of the same coin. Two faces of the same evil. I think maybe, you know, we're having some technical difficulties here at the network today, apparently. And so it might be dangerous. We're having technocratic difficulties in the Western world. But I think we might try to play, I don't know, a couple of clips. Some crazy stuff that has happened. In our history. So you can find what I'm looking for here. And this is part of my archive from Friday, and I promise that I will get that all sorted out. I have a build process I'm working on that's supposed to make things super fast and easy. It's just not complete yet. So, you know, it's not complete, then it doesn't do what it's supposed to, and then it's not super fast and easy, so that's bad. There's a video titled An Inconvenient History. There's a lot of really inconvenient information in it. It is an inconvenient history. And, but, you know, it's one of those things that I think most Americans would benefit from. So we have the medical industry, for example, that we are told, oh, this is all for our benefit, yours, mine. And that's not exactly true, is it? We've seen in the last going on 3 years now how it's increasingly obvious. You really have to lie to yourself not to see the shenanigans right out in plain sight. There we go. This is what I'm looking for. So there's a history, particularly looking back to World War II, around the World War II era in particular. And, well, I mean, we've had conversations on this network, many, many, many conversations about Operation Paperclip and other similar efforts. Things that were going on, but I don't know that most people have dug into the history. Very, very disturbing. As I look for the timestamp here, that's probably close enough. Okay. If we would just be honest, we would understand where we're at and where we're headed. Or where bad guys want to take us, shall we say? This technology thing is an interesting discussion. So do we understand where we got all of the things that we got in the last? I mean, do you remember, for example, those, you don't remember most, the audience of this network remembers, but I'm saying, generally speaking, most people have never even heard of, you know, those television emergency and, you know, those television shows that gave us so many of the fun things that we have, you know, essentially the Nazi science and things. And so this young lady dives down the rabbit hole. Some of the things that we hear are not exactly correct, so we'll fix that. But just a couple of minutes, 3 minutes, I think, or so, of this video. Just, yeah. Is that far enough back? I don't think so. Oh. Yeah, so she's speaking in code. She's trying not to get nabbed by the sensors. I think that's far enough back for now. Yeah, so, you know. Good enough. Coming forward through the World Wars, Balfour Declaration, you know, and the history goes much further back, obviously, what was going on there, and things that seem to correlate directly to a letter that was apparently never written, the letter from Pike to Mazzini, August 15, 1871. Ben Hecht's book, Perfidy, which seems to, in a sense, authenticate these things that were supposed to pretend never happened. Anyway, an inconvenient history indeed. Here's a bit, I believe this is the section, around what was going on during World War II. Give this a listen, please.
So far, the first two World Wars seem to have accomplished the goals set out by Pike and Mazzini. When the public is distracted by things like war, scientists are usually carrying out the most depraved experiments. Since the Fallen taught the weapons and working of death, humanity has literally been caged, hunted, and experimented on like animals. Ancient writings of various cultures depict all sorts of forms of torture. Unfortunately, the scientists we often hail as heroes were nothing but devils themselves. Or mad scientists. This section may be a little bit graphic for those who do not want to hear about bizarre experiments or surgical procedures. In the 1940s and 50s, there were plenty of Soviet scientists who were experimenting with all types of things that modern scientism says were pioneers for things like organ transplants. The point was not strictly medical. The point was to figure out how the physiology works so they could manipulate it as they see fit. They perfected nerve gas, torture techniques, and biological weapons. They wanted to bring the dead back to life and capture consciousness. The ultimate goal was control over creation, both physical and mental. Ilya Ivanovich Ivanov made hybrids of mouse rats, zebra donkeys, bison cows, and guinea pig rats. Hey, he even tried a few times to make a half-human, half-ape. There was Sergei Brukhonenko, who invented a primitive heart-lung machine called the autojector. The most famous of his experiments were with severed heads of dogs, one of which was able to eat a piece of cheese for the onlooking audience. He did dog head transplants too, and brought executed dogs back to life. And Vladimir Demikhov, the dude that sewed two dogs together. If anyone's curious, Soviet experiments on dogs were recorded in the documentary Experiments in the Revival of Organisms. These men play God. They decide whether an animal lives or dies. They decide whether humans live or die. They studied whatever evil agenda they have in mind. During this time period, there was always an esoteric reason. Remember, these are also above-ground scientists. Those in the so-called underworld, as the establishment calls it, are allegedly working with hybrids, which is nothing new. I mean, Nephilim were hybrids. They've always been obsessed with gene manipulation.
We've been investigating a figure named Count Saint Germain. Now, he is a legendary vampire. According to legend, he used blood as a way to extend his life. Jennifer, have there ever been any real-life cases of people consuming blood that would actually prolong their lives?
Well, we've always been fascinated with blood, and back in the 1700s, there's a gentleman known as Paul Bert who actually invented something called parabiasis. He basically took two rats, a younger rat and an older rat, he sliced them and sewed them together. The blood from the younger rat actually ended up having benefits to the older, so the older had better cognitive function, was able to go through a maze faster. However, the younger mouse ended up slowing down and wasn't able to maneuver through a maze.
And they were connected through the circulatory system.
Correct. So basically when they were sewn together, the capillaries actually joined together, and so they essentially had one circulatory system.
The, quote, father of biological warfare, Shiroishi, was chief of Japan's biological warfare program in the Japanese military between World Wars.
I guess we're headed into a break. Is that what I hear?
Deliberately infecting thousands
of people. We should pause. Yeah, stick around. We'll be right back. To see.
And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special.
Welcome back.
As you heard the young lady say, a lot of inconvenient facts, a kind of a terrifying history, but this is reality. So let's talk about it for a minute. First, let's hear a little bit more about this. Can we continue with the clip, please?
And they were connected through the circulatory system.
Correct. So basically when they were sewn together, the capillaries actually joined together, and so they essentially had one circulatory system.
The, quote, father of biological warfare, Shiro Ishii, was chief of Japan's biological warfare program in the Japanese military between World Wars, whose record includes deliberately infecting thousands of captives with deadly diseases and dissecting over 3,000 live prisoners without anesthesia. We wouldn't know how to properly warm someone up from hypothermia without the grotesque freezing experiments conducted by Sigmund Racher. He also killed plenty of victims with his portable pressure chamber to see how much weight a human body can withstand. In the name of science, of course. Racher also developed cyanide suicide pills. This brings me to the most notorious of all, the Angel of Death, also known as Josef Mengele, or the father of modern mind control.
Josef Mengele was a doctor of philosophy and medicine who performed horrifying experiments on humans and was responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people.
The German SS officer and physician at the Auschwitz-Birkenau concentration camps during this had a bottomless pool of condemned human beings at his disposal. You see the problem? The mind control doctors saw their patients as subhuman, as cattle, guinea pigs. Now, participation by psychiatrists, scientists, and doctors were not just a few random guys interested in mind control. Instead, these experiments were organized and systematic, and involved many psychiatrists and medical schools in good standing, like Yale, Harvard, UCLA, Stanford. The mind control experiments occurred with biological and chemical weapons, as well as radiation, all funded by these people. This did not happen the way that the establishment wants you to believe that it did. It's a massive topic worth exploring if you haven't already. The significance of this cannot be underestimated.
Yeah,
some
that's good
Christians
right there.
Some Christians perceive spiritual warfare as something happening on a personal level, just the spiritual personal level. The world is not generally perceived as a threat. The monarch victims of today are the product of centuries of efforts by the Kabbalists, the Brothermans, and occult adepts to completely control human behavior. The reality is, the world and the most powerful people are out to destroy them. That there are real humans and real human institutions that desire to do physical harm to us humans as a whole. When the monarch program started, the top...
She's talking about the monarch program is what she keeps coming back to. And when she says these people... There is a, she stops. These people is a, I guess a slide, not really a slide, but she is surrounded at that moment in her video by, a few things, terms, organizations, whatever you want to call them, Public Health Service, CIA, Army, Navy, Air Force, Scottish Rite, Foundation, etc. And it's curious, the more you start diving into the history, the more you see that there are no sides. You know, we were really colluding with the Russians, obviously, during World War II, and then immediately after World War II, we hear, "Oh my goodness, they're terrible. It's the Cold War. We need a new enemy." But you know, Major Racy Jordan's diaries tell us that there was at the highest levels collusion and conspiracy and treason that was occurring. There was a superhighway of materiel, top secret technology and all kinds of stuff that was being funneled to the Soviets for the purpose of continuing these efforts, but also to create some kind of parity under the specious banner of the Cold War. The Cold War was entirely manufactured, like every other conflict. And we, part of what we experience in this culture acclimates us to and normalizes the concept of parody. It's not normal. This is how we can imagine that there are people in caves somewhere who somehow are a threat to $1 trillion a year military industrial complex. It's absurd. But, because we watch Monday Night Football, we think parody is a real thing. Because we see the NFL and the parody that professional sports create, we think parody is a real thing. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour. I think one of the reasons we should play that clip, Alan Watts saying, you know, I have a friend who was in the CIA. He said, don't, you know, turn off your television, is all he said. Basically, paraphrasing Alan Watt. Never watched the television. I think we can play that. You know, just at least a little bit of it. I think it's fitting here. All of these things that we've heard, you know, these experiments, whether they were, you know, whatever was actually... Somebody misspelled television. Whatever reason we were given, these things were not good. the Stanford Prison Experiment, you know, the Lucifer Effect and Ponderology. Anyway, I want to circle back and we'll look at some of these figures. Ilya Ivanov. Well, before we do that, let's play the Alan Watt clip. Go ahead, please.
I also mentioned, too, that a fellow that has been in touch with me for an awful long time, his brother was in the CIA, or is in the CIA. He will never talk about the CIA to him. He'll never give anything away whatsoever, except one bit of advice. He said, never watch the television. Never watch the television. It's the greatest scientific indoctrination tool ever devised. Haven't you figured that out?
It's changed
the whole culture of nations, not just one nation.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. How does it work? It works at a meta level, largely. And the alpha state of the brain cannot be understated. One of the things, speaking of this video that we have, that we played a little clip of, where did that go? There we go. One of the things this young lady discusses, that most people aren't aware of, is the practice of meditation. And, in fact, you know, so we played about 5 minutes. I want to try to keep track of this stuff. I think this will be important, so I want to keep track of this before we move on. But, like I said, we'll circle back to these other folks. So, we did. Okay. Darn. Okay. Trying to keep track of these timestamps for posterity's sake. We'll come back to that. Whoops. So I want to play one more clip. Anyway, we'll come back to these other guys. I mean, guys you've never heard of. Ilya Ivanov, Ivan Pavlov obviously gets thrown in the mix, but we've heard of him. Sergei Brukhonenko. Most people have never heard of him. Vladimir Demikov. You know, Paul Burt did not live in the 1700s, 1833 to 1886. But still, you know, the subject of vampirism, people, you know, this whole, I mean, with Pizzagate and all of that kind of stuff. It's funny, you know, when we started hearing about Pizzagate and Ben Swan did his expose that seemed to get him disappeared from the internet, and where is proof of life? Where did Ben Swan go? At the same time, I mean, I started keeping track of a few stories and talked about them from time to time that, you know, showed law enforcement and security guards and folks getting caught in these entrapment schemes run by the FBI, where these people are searching on Craigslist for cheese pizza. What are they searching for cheese pizza for on Craigslist? So I don't know if I want to pull up any of those stories, but that was happening. There were some high-profile stories that went nationwide, and yet we're not supposed to believe this. And so one of the things that we've heard along the way, you know, is the whole adrenochrome discussion and all of, oh my goodness, really? Like, you know, JonBenet and, I mean, vampirism, and really, you think that's a thing? Well, people like Paul Burt have been experimenting with it for a long time. You heard in the clip, you know, about the Comte de Saint-Germain, who is the figure, kind of the central figure, you know, when you start talking about creating a homunculus and vampirism and all this kind of stuff. You start looking into folks like Mary Shelley, and you find that it's not just some random thing. And why are we subjected to this stuff year after year? I mentioned, what was it, last year, I think? You know, the 200th anniversary? I think it was 2019 already. It's been a while. But, you know, the 200th anniversary of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Why do we care? Why is that important? Who is that important to? To whom does that matter? So, speaking of the television, before we go back to just another little clip here in a second, what is it doing? What is the television doing? One of the things that it does is it puts you in an alpha state, makes you suggestible. And, you know, there's a very funny thing that's going on. If you watch, what's that new one, Tulsa King, with Sylvester Stallone, another Taylor Sheridan thing. Is Taylor Sheridan really that prolific, or did he make a Faustian bargain? You're telling me this guy's everywhere on all of these projects? You know, from Yellowstone to 1883 to 1923 to the Tulsa King to the... He's Aaron Spelling. My goodness. Or is there maybe more going on here than meets the eye? Buys the, you know, Four Sixes Ranch for a bazillion dollars. I don't know about you, but some things just strike me as odd. So anyway, you watch the Tulsa King, which you shouldn't, but if you watch it, there's the alpha state of the device, for starters, that makes you suggestible. And then this whole, you know, the devil is, well, you know, is he a really bad guy? I mean, he really misses his daughter, and, you know, he's sorry and all of this kind of stuff. And so, you know, you start to cozy up to evil. The clip, the video that we played last Friday, Melissa Dykes, what's the title of that? Oh, if I can find it, where did that go? The characteristics of an indoctrination ritual, I think, is what it is. Anyway, you heard her mention liminality, the concept of liminality. So this is another one of the things. You take the alpha state together with the, you know, the sort of plausible deniability of the subject. Well, you know, maybe the devil's not so bad after all. Humanizing this, getting us to sympathize with evil, basically. Liminality, according to Wikipedia and anthropology, is the quality of ambiguity or disorientation that occurs in the middle stage of a rite of passage. Blah, 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 blah. And so you become suggestible, and you start entertaining ideas that you wouldn't have otherwise. And then you know, what ends up happening is you go through this process, this remaking process. It's a very esoteric thing at a meta level that people do not perceive. And you go from liminality to reification. You're reified in the process. And reification is a logical fallacy that you can look up on Wikipedia. It's a bad thing. Wikipedia entry for reification fallacy. Reification, also known as concretism, hypostatization, or the fallacy of misplaced concreteness, fallacy of ambiguity. When an abstraction, abstract belief, or hypothetical construct is treated as if it were concrete. And this is what you watch on television. What this is doing is reshaping your belief system so that, you know what, Ilya Ivanov, Sergei Brukhonenko, Vladimir Demikov, you know, Mengele, Pavlov, Wundt, Skinner, Nietzsche, Jung, all these guys, they just, you know what? You just don't understand them. That's all, Chris. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe, you know, we've been groomed in a very sinister sort of way, you know. The Little Albert experiment comes to mind. John B. Watson's Little Albert experiment. You can go to Wikipedia and watch a 3-minute video on that. What did he do? Terrified an infant. These people should be in prison, not around children. You want an idea of what I'm talking about? You know, speaking of what she was talking about, Paul Burt is considered the father of aviation medicine. But, you know, and you can look up some of this stuff. Parabiosis, living beside. Here's a NIH PubMed parabiosis in mice, a detailed protocol. How do you figure that stuff out if it's not in places like Unit 731? Speaking of Shiro Ishii. If you want a good idea, this should be the kind of the poster picture of what I'm talking about. Sigmund Rascher is one of the – she said Rascher, or I don't remember how she pronounced it, but she's talking about Sigmund Rascher. Look at his picture on Wikipedia. Pictured with a baby. Look at that, an infant. Look at the face of the infant. The infant's terrified. People experimenting on the other. I mean, you know, I've talked about this a few times. Speaking of Shiro Ishii, Unit 731. You know, basically, these are places where, remember in biology, when you were, you know, vivisecting a frog? What is vivisection? What was going on during World War II? And, you know, magically, suddenly around that time, just after World War II, all of a sudden in school, this is what we're doing, teaching kids to do this kind of stuff. Here's what Unit 731 Wikipedia entry says under the section titled vivisection. Thousands of men and women, children and infants interned at prisoner of war camps were subjected to vivisection, often performed without anesthesia and usually lethal. I don't know how it couldn't, you know, how it could not be. In a video interview, former Unit 731 member Okawa Fukumatsu admitted to having vivisected a pregnant woman. Vivisections were performed on prisoners after infecting them with various diseases. Researchers performed invasive surgery on prisoners, removing organs to study the effects of disease on the human body. And then this all became modern medicine. Prisoners had limbs amputated in order to study blood loss. Limbs removed were sometimes reattached to the opposite side of the victim's bodies. Some prisoners had their stomachs surgically removed and their esophagus reattached to the intestines. Parts of organs such as the brain, lungs, and liver were removed from others. This is modern medicine, folks. And, you know, some people are really not excited about subjecting themselves to this. Hey, why don't you go talk to your doctor? No, thanks. Remember all those programs? You know, we got in the emergency room showed up on the scene in the 70s, and we got television shows to tell us it was fantastic at the same time. Imagine that. Speaking of liminality and reification fallacy, stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better, have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Barron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up, churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank, fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
flashbulbs, no wine. He's haunted by something he cannot define. Bowel-shaking earthquakes of doubt and remorse assail him, impale him with monster truck force. In his mind, he's still driving, still making the grade. She's hoping in time that her memories will fade, 'cause he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and running right on his horse. The
sun is coming. Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's broadcast already. This is heady stuff, but I think we need to know it. It is an inconvenient history. I want to give you this bit about meditation. I'm not saying it. She is, but she's accurate. Speaking of the alpha state, you know, we have to, it's, you know, it's almost as if everything around us, the truth and our, you know, what's for our betterment is the exact opposite. And there's a, speaking of an inconvenient history, this is not a new thing. What has been going on repeatedly throughout the millennia over the last several thousand years is not a new thing. It's interesting how when you stretch out history over a long, you know, millions, billions of years, trillions, zillions, who knows, however many billions of years it's been. But then when you compress that down and you start to look back, you look at Genesis chapter 4, for example, in the Bible, and you really look closely at that. In fact, maybe I'll do that and we'll play all of these clips together in the at the top of the second hour. Let me just do that real fast in the remaining moment here. Let me just pique your curiosity, whet your appetite. If you haven't dug into this before, I think it's interesting that, you know, the story of Cain and Abel you will find in Genesis chapter 4. And then, you know, shortly thereafter, obviously, is the flood. But it's interesting. The ages of the patriarchs, you have these guys, you know, from Adam to Seth to Enosh to Kenan to Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. That's the, those are the generations from Adam to Noah. But what's interesting is in there, Enoch and Lamech, in Genesis 4:18, you see, well, you read this. Now to Enoch was born Irad, and Irad became the father of Mahujael became the father of Methushael, and Methushael became the father of Lamech. But this is not the same, you know, this is not the same Enoch and Lamech that you read about in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 25, and I don't know, 28, 29. Those guys, it's different. Why do we have two different Enochs and Lamechs? Lamech, the descendant of Enoch. What's going on there? Which reminds me of the discussion of the word anti-Semitism. And I've talked about it before, but, you know, the short story on the term anti-Semitism is that if you are anti-Semitic, then etymologically speaking, you don't like Shem's descendants. You're anti-Shemitic, anti-Shemite. I don't like Shem or his descendants. The trouble is, if you read Genesis chapter 10 carefully, what does Ashkenaz have to do with Shem? Ashkenaz is the grandson of Japheth, not Shem. Shem was Japheth's brother. That's interesting. That seems to be a term of art. You can go on any establishment history source and